Well, the number of cases of avian influenza in Australia has likely risen to 7. Authorities in WA have declared a presumed positive case after testing on a giant petrel that was found at a beach in northern Perth. Australia's chief vet officer says there have been no detections in the nation's agricultural production system. And as New South Wales Agriculture Minister Tara Moriarty told the program yesterday, surveillance efforts are being stepped up.
This is something that we've been working on and preparing for here in New South Wales, but also working with other states and territories, working with the federal government. It is a concern. There's no question about that, but there is really no need to panic at the moment. We're as prepared as we can be.
Wildlife groups are calling for emergency federal funds to protect bird species from potentially being wiped out. Kate Miller is the CEO of BirdLife Australia. Kate, welcome to breakfast this morning.
Good morning.
How much of a test is this for conservation efforts in Australia?
Oh, this is a huge test, Sally. We have been tracking, unfortunately, the spread of H5 bird flu globally. We're part of BirdLife International, and as soon as it arrived in those sub-Antarctic islands of Heard and McDonald last year, we just knew it was just that one step closer. And now, obviously, seeing these wonderful giant petrels that come and overwinter, you know, offshore here in Australia, turning up incredibly unwell and carrying the virus is incredibly concerning.
Is there much that we can do to protect the native species, Kate?
Oh, look, there's really, really urgent action that we are calling for from all governments, federal government particularly, and we've been asking with many other environment groups for this package of $200 million. And really what that package is really going to be targeted towards is improving the health of populations most susceptible to this disease. I was down in Esperance last week. You know, that was the first place on the 14th of June where those two unwell birds came. There are incredible islands just offshore there. They have little penguins, petrels, shearwaters, as well as New Zealand fur seals and Australian sea lions, and all of those birds and mammals are really susceptible to this virus. So we need action to really uplift the resilience of those populations and give them the best chance of weathering this virus.
Do you think that Australia's preparations, have they got the mix right, Kate, between protecting agriculture and wildlife?
There's no doubt that the arrangements under biosecurity are really geared to protect the poultry and agriculture industry, and we're very cognizant of how important that is for communities and the economy. However, this is actually a wildlife pandemic, so wildlife will be the first sort of really valuable part of Australian culture that's going to be impacted here. So we're really calling on, and I'm very surprised actually that it's taking environmental groups having to write to federal ministers for them to even consider this. When we're talking about the on-ground action needed, we're being told at the moment there's no money for that. There's money for surveillance and there's money for biosecurity. Just as one example, we've got a beautiful fairy tern colony down in the Murray Mouth. We had one fox prey on 152 fairy tern nests. They destroyed 300 eggs just in a couple of nights. If we'd got on and got that fox out of that environment, we would have pretty much overnight boosted South Australia's fairy tern population by 30%. This is the sort of on-ground action we're calling for now.
Okay, what do we know from experience overseas about the way that this virus hits the wildlife population and the agricultural population?
Yeah, look, the international research is really clear. When you have stressed, diseased wildlife in fragmented habitats interacting with cities and agriculture, the negative impacts and consequences are far greater. So I think that's why everyday Australians I'm speaking to really expect our governments to take action now to build wildlife resilience and not waiting until this disease is spreading. You know, they're wanting to see action right now, and we have a lot of programs that could be scaled up rapidly, but we need the resources to do so.
Kate, just finally, which species are you most concerned about?
Oh, look, my heart just goes out to so many. We've got a long list, over 100 species that are highly susceptible, both really threatened species, things like, you know, beautiful orange-bellied parrots and you know, species that are already on, you know, the edge of extinction, but also it's the common species, as people have seen, you know, it's black swans, you know, it's things like Tassie devils and also the beautiful marine mammals as well. You know, the idea of us having mass mortality right across our coastal areas and into our wetlands, you know, and this is not, you know, cities are not going to escape this potentially, is the reason why we need to take this action now.
Kate, thank you very much for talking to Breakfast this morning.
Thank you.